With this doctrine of the evangelists and apostles do the testimonies of certain doctors of the church agree, some of which I will recite unto you, dearly beloved, not because these testimonies of the scriptures are not sufficient, but because we will not seem to be the beginners and bringers in our new doctrines, though in very deed that cannot be new, which is derived out of the evangelical and apostolic doctrine, or be that all the doctors of the church should gainsay or deny it. Now therefore give ear, how some, even of the best of them, do not in words only say and write, but also by proofs show that faith alone doth justify. Origen, a very ancient writer, upon the third chapter of the Epistle of St. Paul to the Romans, to say, Paul saith that the justification of faith alone is sufficient for a man, so that every one that doth believe only is justified, although no works are once wrought by him. Now if we require an example where any one was ever justified by faith alone without good works, that thief, I suppose, is an example good enough, who being crucified with Christ did cry from the cross, Lord Jesus, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. In the writings of the evangelists there is mention made of no good work which he in his lifetime did, and yet because of this his faith only, Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, this day thou shalt be with me in paradise. Therefore this thief was through faith justified without the works of the law. For after this request and prayer of his Lord made no inquisition that what his works were all his life long, neither did he look what works he would do after this faith and believing, but did immediately upon his confession both justify and take him as a companion to go with him to paradise. Moreover, to the woman, of whom mention is made in the Gospel after St. Luke, not for any work of the law, but for faith only, he said, Thy sins are forgiven thee. And again, Go in peace, thy faith hath made thee safe. Furthermore, in many places of the Gospel, we find that our Saviour used the like kind of speech, making faith always to be the cause of men's salvation. And a little while after, the same apostle saith, God forbid that I should glory in anything but in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified to me, and I to the world. Thou seest here that the apostle glorieth not of his own righteousness, or chastity, or wisdom, or other works or virtues of his own, but doth most plainly pronounce and say, Let him that glorieth glory in the Lord, and so by that means all boasting is excluded, and so forth, with many other sayings tending to this purpose. St. Ambrose, in his exposition of Paul, his epistle unto the Romans, upon the third and fourth chapters, to say, They are freely justified, says St. Paul, because when they work nothing, nor do anything for God again, they are yet, through faith, only justified by the gift of God. According to the purpose of God's grace, saith Paul, it was so ordained of God that, laying the law aside, the grace of God should require faith only unto salvation. This doth by the example of the prophet confirm the blessedness of the man to whom the Lord imputeth righteousness without works. He calleth them blessed, with whom the Lord hath covenanted, that without labour and keeping of the law they should be justified before their Maker. St. John Chrysostom, treating of faith, of the law of nature, and of the Holy Ghost, doth expressly say, I cannot prove that he which worketh the works of righteousness without faith doth enjoy eternal life. But I can by good proof show that he which believed without works did both live and obtain the kingdom of heaven. No man without faith hath obtained life, but the thief believed only, and for his faith was justified by the most merciful God. And whereas, here peradventure thou wilt object that he wanted time to live justly and to do good works, I answer that I do not greatly strive about that, but this only I stick to, that faith alone did justify and save him. For if he had lived any longer, and had neglected faith and works, he had undoubtedly fallen from salvation. But the only end and argument whereat I now shoot at is, that faith of itself doth bring salvation, and that works of themselves did never save any workers that wrought them, as Chrysostom doth at large declare by the example of the captain Cornelius. These testimonies, I suppose, are sufficient to wits that will be answered, and do not stand obstinately in quarrelings or janglings. Otherwise I could allege a great number more. But I will not be over tedious unto you, dearly beloved, nor seem to be endless in an evident matter. But now, because to this treatise of the righteousness of works there is a question annexed touching the merits of good works, I will therefore summarily say somewhat of merits, or rather of the hire and reward of good works. To this end especially, lest any man thinking irreligiously of the merit of good works, to thereby win to himself not good but evil works. The name of merits is an unacquainted term, not used in scriptures. For in that signification wherein our merit workers use it, wit, for meritorious works, for that I mean whereunto both life and the grace of God is of duty given as debt that is due. In that signification I say it doth obscure the grace of God, and maketh man too proud and arrogant. What, I pray you, can our works deserve, since none of the saints durst be so bold as to plead their merits before the Lord. Job crieth, I will justify myself, mine own mouth shall condemn me. If I will go about to show myself to be an innocent, he shall prove me a wicked doer. If I wash myself with snow water, and make my hands never so clean at the well, yet shalt thou dip me in the mire, and mine own garment shall defile me. David crieth, enter not into judgment with thy servant, for in thy sight shall no man living be justified. Christ our Lord in the gospel saith, when ye have done all things that are commanded of you, then say we are unprofitable servants, we have done that we ought to do. But a little before our Lord said, doth the master thank the servant which doth the things which are commanded him to do? The holy apostle St. Paul also crieth, I do not despise the grace of God, for if righteousness be of the law, then did Christ die in vain. Again in the gospel after St. Luke, the Pharisee is greatly blamed, which could not be content to put confidence, in his righteousness, but would needs boast of his merits also. And Nebuchadnezzar felt no little plague for saying that the kingdom of Babylon did come unto him by his own art, industry, power, and virtue. But by how much a greater punishment, therefore, shall we think them to be worthy of which are persuaded, and make their brags, that they by their merits have deserved or earned the kingdom of heaven? And yet all this doth not tend to the making void of the stipend of good works, or to the denying of the reward that is prepared for virtues. For he is true which promised, and what he promised he will perform. Now he promised rewards to them that work righteousness, even as also according to his justice and truth he has threatened terrible punishments to wicked and impenitent sinners. But the promises of God are of two sorts. To wit, they lay before our eyes the gifts and rewards of this present life, and of the life to come. For the Lord in the gospel after St. Mark to say, verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath forsaken house, or brethren, or lands, for my sake, and the gospel's, but he shall receive 100-fold now at this present with persecutions, and in the world to come life everlasting. And Paul saith, godliness is profitable to all things, having promise of the life that now is now, and of that which is to come. This is a pure saying, and by all means worthy to be received. For therefore we both labour and suffer rebuke, because we have our hope settled in the living God. And here it will do well to reckon up and cite the testimonies of Scripture which do concern the reward of good works. I will therefore recite a few, but such as shall be evident and pertaining to the matter. The Lord in Isaiah saith, "Say to the just that it shall go well with him, for he shall eat the fruit of his study or travail. And woe to the wicked sinner, for he shall be rewarded according to the works of his hands." In Jeremiah we read, "Leave off from weeping, for thy labour shall be rewarded thee." And in the Gospel the Lord saith, "Blessed are ye when men speak all evil sayings against you, lying for my sake. Rejoice ye and be glad, for great is your reward in heaven." The Apostle Paul also saith, "Glory, honour and peace to every one that worketh good, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile." Again, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may bear the deeds of his body according to that which he hath done, whether it be good or bad. And again, everyone shall receive a reward according to his labour. Now let us remember that the reward is promised, and great gifts are prepared for them that labour manfully. To sluggards and slowbacks are the evils of this present life, and also of the life to come. To them that strive lawfully, the garland is due. But if it happen that the reward is deferred, and that they which strive receive not the promises by and by out of hand, yet let the afflicted think that their afflictions tend to their commodity, and that they are laid upon them by their heavenly Father. Let not their courage therefore fail them, but let them show themselves men in the fight, and call to God for aid. For whosoever persevereth unto the end, he shall be saved. Let every one call to his remembrance the old examples of the holy fathers, to whom many promises were made, the fruit whereof they did not reap till many a day were come and gone, wherein they strove against and did overcome full many a sharp temptation. The Apostle Paul crieth, "I have fought a good fight. I have fulfilled my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me in that day, not to me only, but to them also that have loved his appearing." They must lay before their eyes the truth of God, who saith, "Heaven and earth shall pass, but my word shall not pass." The Israelites verily were a long time holden captive in Egypt, but the Lord did not forget his promise, for in a fit and convenient time he set them out at liberty with abundant joy and glory for the triumph gotten over their oppressors. The Amalekites and Canaanites did a great while, I confess, exalt themselves in sin and wickedness, but when the measure of their iniquity was fully filled, then were they thoroughly recompensed for their pains by him that is the severe revenger of unrepented wickedness. The Scripture therefore exhorteth all men to have sure hope, persevering patience, and constancy invincible, of which I spake in the third sermon of this third decade. To this place do belong, as I suppose, those excellent words of St. Paul, where he saith, "It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we be patient, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also shall deny us. If we be unfaithful, he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself." And again, "Cast not away your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye may receive the promise. For yet a very little while, and he that shall come will come, and will not tarry. And the just shall live by faith. And if he withdraw himself, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them that withdraw ourselves unto perdition, but we pertain to faith, to the winning of the soul." Yet for all this we must not abuse these and such like testimonies, touching the reward of works, nor the very name of merits, where it is found to be used of the fathers. Neither must we rest it against the doctrine of mere grace and the merit of Christ our Saviour. We must think that the kingdom of heaven and the other special gifts of God are not as the hire that is due to servants, but as the inheritance of the sons of God. For although in the last day of judgment the judge shall reckon up many works, for which he shall seem as it were to recompense the elect with eternal life, yet before that recital of good works he shall say, Come ye blessed of my Father, possess the kingdom prepared for you since the beginning of the world. Now if thou demandest why he shall in the day of judgment make mention rather of works than of faith, mine answer is that it is a point or usual custom in the law for judgment not only to be just, but also by the judge's pronunciation to have the cause made manifest to all men wherefore it is just. And God does deal with us after the order of men, wherefore he doth not only give just judgment, but will also be known of all men to be just and upright judge. But we are not able to look into the faith of other men, which doth consist in the mind, and therefore we judge by their words and deeds. Honest words and works bear witness of a faithful heart, whereas unhonest pranks and speeches do betray a kind of unbelief. The works of charity and humanity do declare that we have faith indeed, whereas the lack of them do argue the contrary. And therefore the Scripture admonishes us that the judgment shall be according to our works. To this then agreeth that in the 12th of Matthew, where it is said, By thy deeds thou shalt be justified, and by the same thou shalt be condemned. To Abraham, after he had determined to offer his son Isaac, it is said, Because thou hast done this thing, and thou hast spared thine only begotten son, I will bless thee, and multiply thee exceedingly, etc. But it is manifest that God made that promise to Abraham before Isaac was born, yea, he made it as soon as Abraham was brought out of his country. Therefore the promise was not now first of all annexed as a reward unto the works of Abraham, etc. Therefore God examineth our works according to his own favourable mercy, and not with the extremity and rigour of law, and doth reward them with infinite benefits, because they proceed from faith in Christ, albeit that, for the sin which abideth in us, they may be impure and nothing meritorious. Now he doth hereby give us a proof that he hath a regard of us and our works, because in testifying the greatness of his love towards us, he doth vouchsafe so to honour not only us, but also his own gifts in us, which he, of his great goodness, hath graciously bestowed upon us. Our bountiful God doth herein imitate the manner of dealing which fleshly fathers use in this world towards their children, for they bestow gifts upon their children as rewards for their well-doing, thereby provoking them to greater virtues, whenas in very deed all things belong to the children by right of inheritance, and the true and proper cause of this reward, which a father giveth to the child, is not the obedience of the son, but the mere good will and favour of the father. Moreover, herein are two things to be observed. First, although God doth after the manner of men allure us with rewards, draw us on with gifts, and keep us in good works with manifold recompenses, yet must not the reward or recompense be the mark whereat the worker ought to look, respecting rather his own glory and commodity than the love and honour that he oweth to God? God will be worshipped for love's sake only, and he will be loved of mere good will, and not for the hope of any reward. For as he requireth a cheerful giver, so doth he look for such an uncoacted affection, voluntary love, and free goodwill as children do naturally bear to their parents. The last is that our works, which some call merits, are nothing else but the mere gifts of God. Now, he were a very unthankful person which when of another man's liberality he hath license given to occupy his land to his best commodity, will it then go about to translate the right thereof from the true owner, which lent it him, unto himself? But because I would be loath, by drawing out this treatise too far, to detain you longer than reason would, I will recite unto you, dearly beloved, a notable conference of places in the Scripture made by St. Augustine, whereby you may evidently understand, in infer a conclusion, that the rewards of good works, or merits of the saints, are the very free and mere grace of God. Therefore, in the 7th chapter of his book, De Gratia et Libero Arbitrio, thus he saith, John the forerunner of our Lord does say, a man can receive nothing unless it be given him from heaven. If therefore thy good works be the gifts of God, then God crowneth thy merits, not as thy merits, but as his own gifts. Let us therefore consider the merits of the Apostle Paul, that is to say, the merits which he saith are in himself, whether they be the gifts of God or no. I have, saith he, fought a good fight. I have fulfilled my course. I have kept the faith. First of all, these good works had been no good works, unless good thoughts had gone before them. Give ear, therefore, what he saith of those good thoughts, not because we can think anything of ourselves or of ourselves, but our ability is of God. Then also let us consider every several particularity. I have fought, saith he, a good fight. I demand by what power he fought, whether by that which he had of himself, or by that which was given him from above. It is unlikely that so great a teacher of the Gentiles as the holy apostle St. Paul was should be ignorant of the law, which in Deuteronomy is heard to say, say not in thy heart, mine own strength and the power of mine own hand have done this wonderful thing, but thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, because he giveth thee strength and power to do it. But what doth it avail to fight well, unless the victory do ensue? And who, I pray you, giveth the victory, but he of whom St. Paul himself does say, thanks be to God, who giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And in another place, when he had cited the place out of the Psalms, where he said, because for thy sake we are killed all day, and are accounted as sheep appointed to the slaughter, he did immediately add and say, but in all these things we overcome, or have the victory, through him which loved us. We have the victory, therefore, not through ourselves, but through him that loved us. After that again he said, I have fulfilled my course. But as he said this, so in another place also he saith, it is not of the willer, nor of the runner, but of God which taketh mercy. Which sentence cannot be by any means so inverted that we may say, it is not of God which taketh mercy, but of the willer and of the runner. For whosoever doth dare take upon him so to invert that sentence of the holy apostle, he doth openly show that he flatly gainsayeth the words of St. Paul. Last of all, he said, I have kept the faith. But in another place again he confesseth, saying, I have obtained mercy that I might be faithful. He said not, I have obtained mercy because I am faithful, but that I might be faithful, declaring thereby that faith itself cannot be obtained without the mercy of God, and that faith is the gift of God, as he doth evidently teach where he saith, ye are saved by grace through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. For they might say, we have therefore received grace, because we have believed, and by that means attributing, as it were, faith to themselves and grace to God. But to prevent that insinuation, the holy apostle St. Paul, whom he had said, by faith, the straightway adds, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. Again, lest they should say that by their works did meritoriously deserve such a gift, he doth presently annexed, not of works, lest any man should boast. not because he did deny or make void good works, considering that he saith that God doth reward every man according to his works, but for because works are of faith, and not faith of works. And so by this means our works of righteousness proceed from him, from whom that faith doth also come, touching which it is said, the just doth live by faith. All this I have hitherto, word for word, recited out of St. Augustine, wherein all that may be said concerning the merits of good works are sufficiently well contained, and so soundly confirmed by proofs of Scripture, that I mean not to add anything unto them. For I see it sufficiently manifest for all to understand what and how the ancient fathers thought and taught on the merits of sinful men. For what can be said more briefly, sincerely and fully, than that a reward is prepared for the good works of men, but yet that reward is nothing else but the grace, and that the merits of good works of the saints are the gift of God, which merits what he crowneth, he crowneth his own gifts. In all this, therefore, the ecclesiastical and apostolical doctrine remaineth still immutable and unreprovable, that we are justified and saved by the grace of God through faith, and not through our own good works or merits. We do now again return to good works, and are come to expound the description or definition of good works which we did set down in the beginning of this treatise. Now therefore, unless our works do spring in us from God through faith, they cannot have the name of good works. But contrarily, if they do proceed from God through faith, then are they also framed according to the rule of the word of God. And for this cause did I in the definition of good works significantly say that they are done of them which are regenerate by the good Spirit of God through faith according to the word of God. For God is not pleased with the works which we of ourselves do of our own brains and authority without warranties of his word, imagine and devise. For the thing that he doth most of all like and look for us in us is faith and obedience, which is most evident to be seen in the very example of our grandfather Adam. And contrarily he doth mislike and utterly reject the works of our own choice and our good intents, which spring in and arise upon our minds and judgments, as I will by these testimonies of Scripture declare unto you. In the 12th of Deuteronomy we read, every man shall not do that which is righteous in his own eyes. Whatsoever I command you, that shall ye observe to do it. Neither shalt thou add anything to it, nor take anything from it. Moreover, in the history of Samuel, there is a notable example of this matter to be seen. For Saul, the king of Israel, received a commandment to kill all Amalekites, with all their beasts and cattle. But he, contrary to the precept, through a good intent, as he thought, of his own, and for a religious zeal's sake of his own choosing, reserved the fattest oxen for to be sacrificed. And for that cause a prophet came and said unto him, is a sacrifice so pleasant and acceptable to the Lord as obedience is? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken is better than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as the vanity of idolatry. Though here in these few words thou hast a godly praise and commendation of the religion of our own inventing, and of our own good works which do arise of our own good intents and purposes. They which do neglect the precepts of the Lord, to follow their own good intents and forecasts, are fatly called witches, apostates, and wicked idolaters. They seem in their own eyes verily to be jolly fellows and true worshippers of God, and zealous followers of the traditions of the holy fathers, bishops, kings, and princes. But God, which cannot lie, doth flatly pronounce that their works do differ nothing from witchcraft, apostasy, and blasphemous idolatry, than which there can be nothing but heinous by any means devised. nor heinous by any means devised. Therefore the Lord in the Gospel, citing that place out of Isaiah's prophecy, doth plainly condemn, reject, and tread underfoot all those things which we choose to ourselves, having their beginning of our own good intents and purposes, where he saith, In vain do they worship me, teaching doctrines of precepts of men. Every planting which my Father hath not planted shall be plucked up by the roots. Let them alone, they be blind leaders of the blind. And thereupon is it that St. Paul did so boldly affirm that the precepts of men are contrary to the truth and are mere lies. The same apostle in one place saith, Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. And in another place, Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Whereupon we may gather that the works which are not framed by the express word of God, or by a sure consequence derived from it, are so far from being good works that they are plainly called sins. Enforce thou, I pray thee, never so great a good turn upon a man against his will, and see what favour thou wilt win at his hand, and how thou shalt please him with that enforced benefit. Therefore good works do first of all require the precise and express observing of God's will, to which alone they ought to tend. In his epistle to the Colossians, the same apostle doth openly condemn the Greek athelothraiskaion, that is, the voluntary religion, which they of their own choice and mind brought in to be observed. And what need have we, I pray you, to invent to ourselves other new kinds of good works, considering that we have not yet done those works which God himself prescribeth, and doth in express words require at our hands? By this now our adversaries may perceive that we do not altogether simply condemn good works, but those alone which we, by rejecting the word of God, do first set a broach by our own imaginations and fantastical inventions, of which sort are many upstart works of our holy monks and sacrificing shavelings. But to conclude, the works that are repugnant to the word of God are by no means worthy of any place or honour. And that we may more rightly perceive the sense or meaning of good works, we must, in mine opinion, diligently observe these words of the Apostle. We are created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. He maketh here two notes concerning those that are good works indeed. The first is, we are, saith he, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. It doth therefore necessarily follow that good works are wrought of him which is by true faith grafted in Christ Jesus. For unless the branch abide in the vine, it cannot bring forth fruit. All the works, therefore, of the unfaithful, howsoever they shine in the title of righteousness, are notwithstanding not good works in very deed. The latter is, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. We must not therefore make account that all the works which men may do are to be accounted good works indeed, but those only which God hath ordained of old that we should walk in them. Now what works those be, the Lord in his law, which is the eternal will of God, hath very plainly expressed. And thereupon it is that the Lord in the Gospel, being demanded questions concerning eternal life and the very true virtues, sendeth the demander unto the law and saith, What is written in the law? And again, if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. Therefore the Ten Commandments are a most sure, an absolute platform of good works, which that ye may know the better and understand, I will briefly recapitulate, as it were in a picture, lay it before your eyes. To the first precept thou shalt refer the fear, the faith, and the love of God, with assured hope, persevering patience, and constancy invincible in trouble and afflictions. To the second belongeth the true and sincere worship wherewith God is pleased, with the utter refusal of all superstition and perverse religion. Upon the third doth depend the reverence of God's majesty, the free confession of his might, the holy invocation of his name, and the sanctification of the same. In the fourth is comprehended the moderate conservation of the ecclesiastical ceremonies, the preaching of God's word, public prayers, and whatsoever else doth belong to the outward service or external worship of God. To the fifth thou mayest annex the natural love of children towards their parents, of men toward their country and kinsfolk, the due obedience that we owe to the magistrates and all in authority, and lastly the officers of civil humanity. To the sixth thou shalt join justice and judgment, the protection of widows and orphans, the delivering of the oppressed and afflicted, well-doing to all men, and doing hurt to no man. To the seventh, thou shalt add the faith of wedded couples, the offices of marriage, the honest and godly bringing up of children, with a study of chastity, temperance, and sobriety. To the eighth is to be reckoned upright dealing in contracts, liberality, bountifulness, and hospitality. Under the ninth is couched the study of truth through all our lifetime, faith in words and deeds, with decent, honest, and profitable speech. In the tenth and last, thou mayest remember good affections, holy wishes, with all holy and honest thoughts. And so this is the compendious platform of good works. Now, if thou desire to have it more briefly expressed than this that thou seest, then turn thyself and hearken to the words of Christ our Lord, who gathereth these ten into two principal points, and saith, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbour as thyself. Whatsoever therefore ye would that men should do to you, even so do ye to them. Upon these precepts of the Lord, all the faithful which desire to do good works must fix their eyes and minds, and that too so much the more diligently and constantly, as they do more sincerely and evidently perceive and see that God in the law and the prophets doth require nothing else, nor any other works of the hand of his elect and chosen servants. Go to now, therefore, let us hear out of the holy prophets some such evident testimonies concerning good works, as do consent and wholly agree with the law of the Lord. Moses in Deuteronomy crieth, And now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee, but to fear the Lord thy God, and to walk in all his ways, to love him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul, that thou keep the commandments of the Lord and his ordinances which I command thee this day. And the kingly prophet David, in the 15th psalm, asketh this question, Lord, who shall abdwell in thy tabernacle? And presently answereth himself, saying, Even he that walketh uprightly, and doth the thing that is just and right, and so forth, as it is contained in the Ten Commandments. Isaiah also, in his 33rd chapter, moveth the same question, and answereth even so as David had done before him. Jeremiah, in the 22nd chapter, doth urge and reiterate these words to the Jews. Thus the Lord commandeth, Keep equity and righteousness. Deliver the oppressed from the power of the violent. Do not grieve nor oppress the stranger, the fatherless, nor the widow, and shed no innocent blood in this place. And Ezekiel, in his 18th chapter, knitteth up a bedrow of good works, in no point unlike to these, save only that it is somewhat more largely amplified. In Isaiah, the Lord saith, I desire mercy more than sacrifice, and the knowledge of God more than whole burnt offerings. Micaiah doth diligently inquire what the worshipper of God should do to please him withal, and what works he should do to delight the Lord. And immediately by the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, he maketh answer, saying, I will show thee, O man, what is good, and what the Lord requireth of thee, namely to do justly, to love mercy, and with reverence to walk before thy God. In like manner the prophet Zachary, to them that demanded of him certain questions, touching virtues and such good works as pleased the Lord, gave this answer, saying, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, execute true judgment, show mercy, and loving kindness every man to his brother. Do the widow, the father, the stranger, and the poor no wrong. Let no man imagine evil in his heart against his brother. Neither be ye lovers of false oaths, for these are the things which I do hate, saith the Lord. With this doctrine of the prophets doth the preaching of the evangelists and apostles fully agree, teaching in every place that charity, righteousness, and innocency are the scope and sum of all good works. The apostle James saith, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their adversity, and to keep himself unspotted of the world. It remaineth now for me to draw to an end, and in the rest that is yet behind, to be spoken touching the description of good works, to compare places of the Scripture for the confirmation and plain exposition of the same. Now therefore we said, that good works indeed are wrought by them that are regenerate, to the glory of God, the ornament of our life, and the profit of our neighbour. For the Lord in the gospel prescribeth this end to good works, where he saith, let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works, and glorify your Father which is in heaven. The apostle Paul, also oftener than once, exhorting us to good works, doth as a most effectual cause to set them forward add, that by those works of ours we may adorn the doctrine of our Lord and Saviour Christ Jesus. And even as comely and cleanly garment adorneth a man, so do good works indeed set forth the life of Christian people. For hereupon it riseth, that the apostles of Christ did so often persuade us to put off the old man, and put on the new, which is created in the similitude and likeness of God. For thereby we obtain both honour and glory. We both are, and are called, the servants, yea, the sons of our Lord God, whose property and virtue shineth in us, to the glory and praise of his holy name. And as he doth require good works at our hands, so if we do them, we are on the one side do please and delight him, and he on the other doth honour us again, and may be proved by many testimonies of the Holy Scripture. But the thing itself is so plain and without all controversy, that it needeth no business to prove it at all. He verily doth every minute augment in us his gifts, while we are attentive to do good works. For in the gospel he saith, to every one that hath shall be given, and he shall abound, and from him that hath not shall be taken even that which he hath, and shall be given to him that hath. So this also may be added, that God is favourable to them that work righteousness, and doth enrich them even with many temporal gifts, and at last bring them to a life everlasting. For the apostle Paul doth expressly say, God shall reward every man according to his deeds. To them which by continuing in well-doing seek for glory and honour and immortality and eternal life. And again, glory and honour and peace to every one that worketh well. Although the godly in all their good works do not, as I told you before, respect so much the recompense and reward at God's hand as the advancement of God's glory, the fulfilling of his will, and the profit of our neighbour. For Paul saith, do all things to the glory of God. And again, let no man seek his own, but every one another's profit, even as I do in all things please all men, not seeking my own commodity, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. Therefore all the godly do so direct and temper their works, that they may please, delight, and honour God, and profit many men, for in so doing they express or represent the nature of God, whose sons they both are and are called. For he doth liberally pour out his benefits upon all creatures, and therefore his sons are beneficial and bent to do good to all men. This much have I hitherto to say touching the nature or property, cause, end, and effect, that is the very true and right meaning of good works. by which I hope it is evident to be perceived, how and in what sense the Lord in the Scriptures is said to attribute the name of righteousness and justification unto the good works of the saints his servants, and that true principle of our religion remaineth firm and unreprovable, wherein we confess and hold that we are justified by the grace of God for Christ his sake through faith, and not for works. Now therefore, there is nothing more behind but this only, for us to make our humble petition to God for true faith in Christ our Lord, and that by his grace he will so guide us, that we may now in works put that in practice, which hitherto we have been taught in the words of this treatise. That is to say, that we may in good works indeed express the faith which we in words profess that we have in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. This reading ends on page 357.
Stillwater's Revival Books is now located at puritandownloads.com. It's your worldwide online Reformation home for the very best in free and discounted classic and contemporary Puritan and Reformed books, MP3s, and videos. For much more information on the Puritans and Reformers, including the best free and discounted classic and contemporary books, MP3s, digital downloads, and videos, please visit Stillwater's Revival Books at puritandownloads.com. Stillwater's Revival Books also publishes the Puritan Hard Drive, the most powerful and practical Christian study tool ever produced. All thanks and glory be to the mercy, grace, and love of the Lord Jesus Christ for this remarkable and wonderful new Christian study tool. The Puritan Hard Drive contains over 12,500 of the best Reformation books, MP3s, and videos ever gathered onto one portable Christian study tool. An extraordinary collection of Puritan, Protestant, Calvinistic, Presbyterian, Covenanter, and Reformed Baptist resources. It's fully upgradable and it's small enough to fit in your pocket. The Puritan Hard Drive combines an embedded database containing many millions of records with the most amazing and extraordinary custom Christian search and research software ever created. The Puritan Hard Drive has been produced to assist you in the fascinating and exhilarating spiritual, intellectual, familial, ecclesiastical, and societal adventure that is living the Christian life. It has been specifically designed so that you might more faithfully know, serve, and love the Lord Jesus Christ, as well as to help you to do all you can to bring glory to His great name. If you want to love God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, then the Puritan Hard Drive is for you. Visit puritandownloads.com today for much more information on the Puritan Hard Drive and to take advantage of all the free and discounted Reformation and Puritan books, MP3s, and videos that we offer at Stillwater's Revival Books.